Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul will continue his series on spiritual warfare with part two of The Fight for Your Feelings.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and
We have been having a fantastic time at our church this summer on Wednesday nights at Summer Nights at the Bridge. We've had a number of guest speakers come, and this coming Wednesday night, I especially want you to invite you to join us because my dear friends Bill and Pam Farrell will be with us. They travel the world, they've written books, they speak on marriage and parenting, and they will be with us this Wednesday night, 7 p.m., to speak on the secret language of the heart. We have things on Wednesday night for all ages, so you can bring the whole family. Also, we are going to be having Vacation Bible School. It'll be evenings this year, the week of July 30th through August 3rd. Please go to our church website or call our church at 818-776-1500 and ask questions, get those questions answered, and please join us this Wednesday night and then with Vacation Bible School in early August. Well, it's been our privilege to study this spiritual warfare topic. And I don't know the impact it's had on you, but I have been experiencing an increased sense of spiritual warfare in my own life and in the lives of people around me. The enemy does not want to give up ground easily. In fact, as I was preparing to come into the studio this morning, I got a phone call that a pipe had busted here at the studio and many of the studios had been flooded with water and that perhaps I wasn't going to be able to come in. I sent out a quick prayer request on Facebook asking folks to pray, and then they called me back and they were able to open up another studio for me to come in today to record this message for you on the fight for your feelings. We know, according to Scripture, that Satan attacks us in our intellect, our emotions, and our will. We looked at the battle for our mind, and now we're looking at the fight for our feelings. Last week, we were looking at the insights on this. We noted that God has emotions, so that they are good. God has an appreciation of goodness, anger over sin, sorrow over sinfulness. He has love and compassion, and he even expresses his sorrow and his genuine love in tears. We also saw that God has given us emotions for our good. They move us to action. They show us what God is like. And they are warning signals for us to investigate if something is right or wrong. We also said the source of our emotions is our thoughts and our perceptions. And that Jeremiah, for example, in Lamentations chapter 3, when his perceptions were off, his emotions were off. When he corrected those perceptions with biblical truth, his emotions followed. And then fourthly, we saw that emotions can be deceptive. Like dashlights, they might lead us to things that just aren't accurate. We may have emotions so strong that they get us to doubt what's true. Or we might have emotions that get so jaded, we get so overwhelmed by the lies around us that we don't feel what we ought to feel. Perhaps there is something in our society that is absolutely wicked. We become so used to it because of the bombardment from movies and television and songs and everything else in the culture that we no longer feel strongly as we ought to, and we don't act accordingly. God wants us to express our God-given emotions in a godly way, guided by truth. Then last week, we began looking at some biblical illustrations of emotional warfare, and we looked at Cain and how he gave in to his anger and he committed murder. He was influenced by Satan, the one who was the murderer from the beginning. We learned that the key to victory is to act properly regardless of our feelings, even how strong those feelings may be. Always choose to act in such a way that will bring God glory, and then God has the ability to change our feelings over time. I want to give you today another biblical example of emotional warfare that gives us insight to the demonic activity involved. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 18 with King Saul. In this text, we're going to discover that Saul began to struggle with anger, jealousy, and irrational fears. Now, the background is that King Saul can't deal with the truth that he's going to lose his throne. In 1 Samuel 13 and 15, God told Saul through the prophet Samuel that he was going to take the kingship away from him because his heart wasn't right. God said he was going to give it to another man who had a right heart toward God. Well, Saul decided that his plan was better than God's, so he decides he's going to fight against God's plan. He's not going to give up the kingship easily. He's going to do it his way. Now, in 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, it says, "So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and prospered, and Saul set him over the men of war. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." You see, the people are starting to like David. Even Saul's servants like David. David is becoming incredibly popular. Verse 6 tells us, "It happened as they were coming when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.' Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him." The word displeased him literally there means it became evil in his eyes. This is his perception. This is his reality. This is evil for David to be liked by the people more than Saul. And Saul said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Saul had already been warned this was God's will. God was going to raise up a man with a heart that was right and give the kingdom to him. But this was evil in the eyes of Saul. People start praising David, and Saul became angry. He became jealous. He became prideful. He became suspicious. Have you ever struggled with any of those emotions? I sure have. Have you ever been afraid of that prodigy that's coming up through the company and everyone's praising them and you know they're right in line for your job? Have you ever been suspicious that others want to take something from you? This is what Saul is going through, and he loses control of his emotional state. And thus in verse 10 it says, "Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hands." You see, Saul's emotional state and his defiance of God's clear will opened him up to demons, an evil spirit from God. God sends an evil spirit to fulfill what God had promised through Samuel, that the kingdom would be taken from Saul. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, we know that anger opens us up to the attack of the enemy. We know there that we're supposed to be angry and not sin and not let the sun go down on our anger, and not give the devil an opportunity, a place, a foothold, a beachhead. Don't allow anger to become sinful, because it's the devil's playground. Now, verse 11 says, "Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David escaped from his presence twice." Saul loses control of his emotions. This opens him up to demonic attack. He then attempts murder. Why? Because as we saw with Cain last week, Satan is a murderer. He wants to kill people. He wants to destroy. He wants everybody to go down with him. And David had to escape this twice. Now, I don't know about you, but if my boss threw a spear at me once, I think I'd look for another job. Well, David didn't have that choice. But he gets out of there twice. Verse 12, "Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as his commander of 1,000. He went out and came in before the people." Verse 12 now is where Saul experiences irrational fears. He's afraid of David. For what? What has David ever done to harm Saul? Nothing. But Saul is dwelling on his feelings instead of truth. He's allowing his negative emotions to get the best of him. It's changing his perceptions of reality. And now he is angry, he's upset, he's murderous, and he's jealous, and he's afraid. There was no reason to be afraid. David has been loyal, loyal, loyal. But what's really going on? The Lord had departed from Saul and was with David. Now, this can't happen to a New Testament believer. If you are a believer in Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, he doesn't come and go like he would in the Old Testament times. He is with you forever, and he is greater than any demonic force. But demons can still influence us. When we aren't walking in the Spirit, we can be overwhelmed by all kinds of fears. We need to walk in the Spirit so we can control these feelings and direct them by truth. And the reality is you're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. Galatians 5:16 through 23 makes that very clear. If you're walking in the flesh, you're going to engage in all kinds of things. You're going to think wrong things. You're going to feel wrong things. But you need to walk in the Spirit. Then you can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control available to you. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, we don't have a spirit of fear, but we have the spirit of power, love, and discipline. In fact, the Spirit of God will remind us of God's perfect love that casts out fear, the love of the cross of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. Saul begins to experience hatred and dread. Instead of rejoicing that God was prospering David, he was upset and jealous, like the person at work that gets the promotion you wanted. Do you find yourself saying, "Thank you, Lord, for blessing my fellow worker and giving them that coveted job"? Or do you be like Saul, angry, jealous, upset? These are real emotions, my friend. It's a battle. If you've just joined us, I'm Pastor Paul Brown. This is The Bridge, the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. We are in the midst of a series on spiritual warfare, and we're looking at the fight for your feelings, looking specifically at Samuel, an illustration of a man who gave in to the spiritual warfare and was overcome by it. We see him angry, jealous, upset. He has irrational fears. Verse 17 then says, Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be a valiant man for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "My hand shall not be against him," even though he's already done that twice, "but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." But David said to Saul, "Who am I and what is my life from my father's family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law?" I don't know about you. I'm not sure I'd want to be a son-in-law either if he throws spears at me. But anyway, verse 19 says, "So it came about at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David that she was given to Adriel the Meholathite for a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. When they told Saul, the thing was agreeable to him." Saul thought, now notice thought, this is where the problem begins in the thought life. Saul thought, "I will give her to him that she may become a snare to him and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore, Saul said to David, for a second time, you may be my son-in-law today." This is deception. Saul has given in to the demonic attack. He has allowed his jealousy, his hatefulness, his anger, his pride, his suspicion, his irrational fears to engage him in deception. He now wants his daughter to marry David as a trap. What trap? He wants David to then have to go out to do something to irritate the Philistines so that the Philistines will kill him. Saul was willing to use the emotions of his daughter to carry out his evil plans. What an evil, wicked thing. Verse 22 then says, "Saul commanded his servants, speak to David secretly, saying, behold, the king delights in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law." So Saul's servant spoke these words to David. But David said, "Is it trivial in your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I'm a poor man and lightly esteemed?" The servants of Saul reported to him according to these words which David spoke. Saul then said, "Thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry except 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies." Now Saul planned to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Saul has given in. The father of lies, the devil, now has a demon influencing him, and now Saul is lying and deceiving and manipulating for the purpose of murder. He tells lies and he convinces others to tell lies for him. He wants David to irritate the Philistines so they will kill him. I don't know if you've ever gotten that far. You've so engaged in your feelings, you've done something you shouldn't have done, you've rebelled against God's clear authority, you've sinned, and now you're going to cover it up through lies and deception, even manipulating other people. This is the world in which we live. We see it every day. It's in the news. It's everywhere, whether it's a politician or a famous person or a not-so-famous person engaging in these behaviors, losing the fight for their feelings. Verse 26 says, when his servants told David these words, it pleased David to become the king's son-in-law. Before the days had expired, David rose up and went, he and his men, and struck down 200 men among the Philistines. Then David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full number to the king that he might become the king's son-in-law. So Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, for a wife. When Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, then Saul was even more afraid of David. Thus Saul was David's enemy continually. Irrational fears. David was loyal. David did exactly what he was asked to do. He was obedient. He was faithful. God was blessing him because of it, but that didn't matter to Saul because he was overcome by sinful emotions. Saul didn't control his thoughts. He couldn't control his emotions. Why did it get this far? Well, turn back to 1 Samuel 13, and I want to give you the background of this story as to what went on. In 1 Samuel 13, Saul was supposed to go to war with the Philistines, and he wanted Samuel to come and offer sacrifices. Well, Samuel doesn't come, he's delayed, and Saul decides, well, we got to offer the sacrifices, I've seen it done, I know how to do it, I'll do it myself. Now, Saul knew how to do it, but God's word forbade him to do it, and he did it anyway. In verse 10 through 14, it says, as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the appointed days, the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. What was Saul's problem? It was disobedience. He knew the truth. He lost the battle for his mind. He allowed his feelings over what might happen in a future battle that hadn't even occurred yet. He was feeling negatively about the future, and so he made a bad choice in the present. He disobeyed God. He refused to accept God's will, and that disobedience led to the removal of God's blessing, led to Saul wanting to do his own thing instead of God's, led to anger, jealousy, suspicion, fear, and demonic influence. Then in chapter 15, Saul is supposed to go fight a war and wipe out the enemy. Instead, he brings back some of the choice animals and the king. God clearly instructed him to wipe everything out, and he didn't do it. In verses 20 through 23, it says, then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choices of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings as sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Verses 27 through 29 say, as Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. That then leads us to chapter 18 with the uncontrolled thoughts, false thoughts. You see, Saul did not win the battle for his mind. That is why he lost the fight for his feelings. He could not overcome these deep-seated things because he had already lost the battle for truth. He compromised. He rationalized. He blame-shifted. He blamed it on the people. He said he wanted to offer sacrifices. God did not want those sacrifices. He made every excuse in the book for living a life of disobedience. What did it ultimately lead to? As Saul lost more and more and more control of his thoughts and emotions, 1 Samuel 31, verse 4 tells us that it led to suicide. Saul was in a battle. He was injured. He was going to die. He committed suicide. Why does this happen? Because Satan and his demons would love for people to commit suicide. Satan is a murderer. He's behind suicide. He wants people to die. And so many people get so emotional, they lose the fight for their feelings. They feel hopeless. They feel like there's not an answer out there, and they take their life. What a tragedy. Oh, if they would only understand the love of God for them, the value He places on their life, no matter what they're going through, if their mind would grasp the fact that God cares for them intimately and has a plan for them. He can use them. He can forgive them. He can give them victory over anything and everything that they are facing. But they give in to wrong thoughts and sinful feelings. Is suicide a problem in the United States? Oh boy, is it. Suicide is a major national public health issue. In 2016, there were 45,000 recorded suicides, an increase from 2 years earlier. On average, the annual U.S. suicide rate increased 24% between 1919 and 2014. It's now up to 13 suicides per 100,000 people. This is the highest rate recorded in 28 years. And most believe that it's underreported, that there may be more people committed suicide than that. In 2015, suicide was the seventh leading cause of death for males and the 14th leading cause of death for females. Additionally, it was the second leading cause of death for young people aged 15 to 24 and the third leading cause of death for those between ages of 10 and 14. From 1919 to 2010, the suicide rate among Americans aged 35 to 64 increased 30%. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S., and it cost the Americans about $51 billion annually. This is a problem, my friend, because people lose the fight for their feelings. This is sad. It doesn't need to be that way. The Lord Jesus Christ came to set us free, to give us victory, to give us hope, to renew our sense of a future that's glorious, of bearing fruit, of impacting the world, of having a purpose. But so many are losing this war. And Satan is using their feelings against them. I got to say to you, if you're even contemplating suicide, it's the ultimate act of selfishness. It's when your feelings matter more than the feelings of your family. You can't even understand the pain that it will cause family, friends, and everyone around you. What's the problem? People that are there, they've stopped believing the truth. That we can do all things through Christ, that we are His special creation, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will enable us to get through every trial, that no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, that the Holy Spirit dwells within you and you are a righteous child of God, that you are an instrument of His grace to be used for praise of the glory of His grace, that killing yourself is to believe the lie of the devil, and is to say that you've lost the war for your thoughts and feelings and you're going to be like King Saul. Oh, there's hope. There's victory. Don't give in. Come to Jesus now. He will empower you. He will give you a future and a hope. And I hope you'll come back next week, and we're going to talk more about this so you can have victory in Jesus.
The enemy of our souls is attacking our minds and our emotions. Do you need help? A Bible-teaching local church is where you can be equipped to win the spiritual battles you're facing. Are you actively engaged in a church that teaches God's truth faithfully? If you need help finding one, give us a call. If you are nearby and don't have a church home, please join us. Our Sunday worship service is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. For more information about our church, please go to www.TheBridgeBibleFellowship.com. Please join us next Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA for part 3 of The Fight for Your Feelings.